Checking back with our friend Kelly Eisner of the American Red Cross for an update on how the organization is dealing with the pandemic and also a new tool that's available. Hello, Kelly, nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me on again, Joe. I always love stopping by, even if it's virtual.
I know. Hopefully I can be in person again soon, but in the meantime, this will suffice. How's the Red Cross doing so far? Let's ask generally with the pandemic.
I mean, it's a lot of work. Every time I talk to you, I tell you how impressed I am by our volunteers, our paid and unpaid staff that just really, they show up every day, even in a virtual environment. You know, we're out there delivering the mission. It's really impressive to see. I mean, I have the ability that in a communications role, I can sometimes work from home, but, you know, there are volunteers, our stat teams are really just digging in and doing everything that they can.
I know last time we chatted, you were very, very concerned, obviously, about the lack of blood drives that were happening and leading to the shortage in the blood supply. How is that situation?
It's true. I mean, we're right now in an area where we would call it an urgent need for blood. I mean, there is definitely, there's still a need that's out there, especially as hospitals start to pick up again, elective surgeries resume, that kind of thing. I also do want to say, though, that every time I come out and I say, hey, we need blood, it's really amazing to see the response from people. People are making an appointment. That's one thing that we are still encouraging is appointments right now. It just helps us with social distancing. We have to be able to keep track of how many people are going to be in a spot at any given time.
Sure. So, you know, maybe to let folks know, how would an actual blood drive work in a coronavirus world? What are the actual steps that happen?
Well, there's a couple extra steps. So first thing is the push to appointments. You know, in non-coronavirus world, we would certainly encourage walk-ins. That's just not something we can accommodate right now. When you get to a blood drive, we're going to ask that you wear a mask. All our staff, all our volunteers will wear masks as well. You'll have your temperature taken outside before actually going into the room. You know, there'll be hand sanitizer right outside, which people ask you to use, and then throughout the process. A lot of the infection control procedures have already been in place. Like, our staff always wore gloves. They were always wiping down beds using secure needles, but there's a lot more wiping down that goes on. Pretty much anytime someone touches it, there's someone behind there with a sanitizing wipe to clean something. So it's it takes a little bit longer. And then the other big difference that you'll see visually is that the beds are spaced out 6 feet, all the chairs are spaced out. So we're maintaining social distance at every step of the way for donors.
Sure. Are you still having the same amount of blood drives, or have those been lessened a bit?
It's tough. We're trying to get back up to the regular pace. It's harder to find locations, obviously, you know, because of these social distancing, we need bigger spaces than we would normally need. So that's been a bit of a challenge. But we are running, you know, dozens of drives every day. Our donor centers are still open and they're running 7 days a week. The one thing I ask is for patients, if you want to come out and you can't get an appointment right away, please take an appointment that you can get and then do your hardest to keep that appointment or cancel it if you can't make it. If something comes up, we get it.
Sure. You know, for folks, Kelly, who have been exposed to coronavirus or who have tested positive, are they able to donate?
So we ask that you, if you've had any symptoms of coronavirus or been around someone that's had a positive test, that you wait 28 days after the symptoms end before you come back and donate. There is something called a convalescent plasma donation, where if you've recovered from COVID-19, you had a positive test, you have a negative test, and you've recovered, you can come to the Red Cross and donate your plasma. There's been some research to suggest that this could actually help patients who are still fighting it off. The antibodies that are in your blood can help fight off COVID in other patients. And that's something too, that something that we started earlier this month is now when you do donate blood with the Red Cross, you'll be given an antibody test. It's not on site, it's done after the fact. You donate, we send the blood off to the testing laboratory and the results are posted on the website or on the app, usually about a week, give or take. It's just one more tool so you kind of know where you've been, if there's, you know, it helps with tracing and kind of, and then if you find out that you're a candidate to donate convalescent plasma, you know, we're happy certainly to set that up. And it's a way that if you've already gone through this awful disease, you can kind of give something back and help someone else.
I don't know if you heard just very recently some studies that suggest people with type O blood are not as badly affected by COVID-19 as, say, people with type A. I don't know if the process is involved in that at all.
We don't have a lot of scientific information to back that up yet. I'm type O, so maybe I got lucky, but I don't know. There's so much science and things. This is all moving so fast that a lot of these theories just haven't been tested. I would hope that that regardless of what happens, that, you know, people who have had it can come in and do something to help.
Yeah, of course. I just wonder if there was a run on, you know, type O blood because people thought it might help them keep the virus at bay or something.
Well, I will say that type O is always, even before the coronavirus, that's always the type that's most in demand by hospitals. O is the universal donor. So if you're in a situation where doctors don't have time to test your blood, you're going to get O negative because they know your body can handle it. So sure. Maybe there's something to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Does donating blood involve getting typed? A lot of people probably don't know their type.
Absolutely. So you don't need to know it to donate, but after the fact, we will tell you what your blood type was. It's usually about a week, a little bit longer sometimes. But that's why I always tell people that if you're comfortable using a phone app, the Blood Donor app is really cool because it saves all that information. So you go, you have your blood type. It's how I learned my blood type. Mm-hmm. So it's a really handy tool, and then it keeps records of your blood pressure and every time you've gone to donate with the Red Cross, and they do that little health history. It's all in there.
Oh, very good. Okay, it could create a nice medical record for yourself.
It is.
Yeah. What has the Red Cross been able to do virtually during the pandemic, Kelly?
Well, right now, all our home fire responses are all being done virtually, I think it's really important for our volunteers to know that they can still help people. It's a different method, but it's still being out there in the community, even if it's virtually, providing help to people. You know, there are thousands of home fires every single day. And it's something that, you know, the Red Cross is really focused on helping and making a difference in that realm. So it's nice to know that the pandemic hasn't stopped that, just changed it a little bit.
Right. So many more people are home cooking and now grilling. So unfortunately, fires happen. Yeah.
And with 4th of July coming up too, I mean, I know in my neighborhood, I've heard lots of fireworks that they're not supposed to have. I mean, it's definitely illegal to use illegal fireworks in this state, but we know it happens. And that is definitely a bigger risk. So it's, there's actually some great information on redcross.org that mm-hmm. will talk about fire safety and, you know, how to make sure your family is prepared, having a fire plan, a 2-minute drill, we call it, where, in 2 minutes getting out of the house, finding alternate exits, having that marked and labeled in a place where people can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's critical. Now with, the summer months approaching, things are going to get even more active. So definitely keep that in mind. It's fireworks are an issue up and down the East Coast, it seems. We're hearing reports, from Maine to Florida. So people are finding creative ways, I guess, to let off some steam.
I say let the professionals handle it. I think those amazing displays are going to be better than anything I can do in my own backyard. So why not just enjoy what trained professionals are giving to.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we talk a little bit about a new virtual tool that the Red Cross is launching during this time?
Absolutely. It's called our Virtual Family Assistance Center, and this is targeted specifically at people who have lost a loved one to COVID. There's a lot of online resources, things that you might not think of immediately when you're dealing with this horrendous loss. There's information for funeral services and for paperwork that you have to fill out with the state. It's just guidance. And also because it's the Red Cross, we have our staff that's trained in counseling and talking through the grief process. It's really a great resource.
We're showing folks the homepage here now. And this is just through redcross.org.
Yes, redcross.org, if you remember, it's /VFAC is the Virtual Family Assistance Center. But you can also navigate to this page from the Massachusetts page, redcross.org/MA.
Okay. And is this, is this something that you think might continue, Kelly, after the pandemic, resources like this?
Absolutely. The model that we used for this particular virtual family assistance center is something that the Red Cross has done in other mass casualty situations. It's just really, this is the first time it's virtual. Usually this is, it's more of an in-person gathering. Obviously that's not possible right now. But we always try to think about the people that are involved in one of these mass casualties and just all the questions that the things that are coming at them that they're really, maybe not in a position to think about. You don't want to be worrying about Social Security when you're grieving the loss of a loved one. These are resources that are available. And again, our counselors are able to talk you through and just kind of just be an ear, a voice of calm and just kind of help with the grieving process as well.
Yeah, it's something that, has not been talked about quite a bit, but it's definitely an important aspect of all this. People are not having the opportunity to say goodbye.
It's true. In our own personal existence, many of us know people that have been lost to the coronavirus, and not having that chance to have a funeral or to have a public ceremony, but at the same time, it kind of drives home the fact that, these safety tips are there for a reason. When you're being told to stay home, wear your mask, wash your hands, you have to do it because the consequences of not doing so are very real.
When I speak with you, I always like to kind of go over who can donate blood and how often they can do that.
Sure. So the regular kind of what you would think of as a blood donation is what we would call whole blood. That can be done every 56 days. If you're talking about convalescent plasma, that is a 28-day waiting period. So if you, again, that's specifically for people that have had COVID and recovered from it, can donate their plasma every 28 days. Platelets are constantly in need. A lot of what the Red Cross has seen is some of the services, the hospital services that may have been put on hold, this is nationally, not just here in Massachusetts, have to do with platelet transfusions because it's something that can be put off a little bit, but now we're starting to see those pick up again as well. Platelets are sort of the newborn babies of blood in that they're very delicate, they can't be frozen, they have to constantly be agitated, so they have a very short shelf life and they're constantly in demand. More than half the platelets that the Red Cross collects go towards cancer treatments.
Okay. And who can be a donor?
You have to be at least 17 years old. Okay. You have to weigh at least 110 pounds, but beyond that, the field is pretty wide open. If you were to call 1-800-RED-CROSS with a specific question, they can walk you through like certain medications that you might have to put off, but really it's a pretty big open field. There's no upper age limit.
So. Okay. And how should a donor prepare for the day they're making a donation? What do they need to do and bring with them?
Great question. First thing is to make the appointment. Like you said, drink lots of water. We recommend an additional 16 ounces of water on top of what you already drink. So if you're not great about drinking water, drink more.
Okay.
It really does help. And it's all for your recovery. It just makes the whole process a lot smoother. We ask that on the day of your donation, if you're able to fill out your rapid pass, and that's something that you can do either through the blood donor app or on the website. It just gets some of the preliminary health questions out of the way. And if you do it at home before you come to a blood drive and you find out that there's, not that anyone's traveling right now, but let's say you had traveled to, an island resort and that was in an area where you couldn't donate suddenly, it lets you know before you leave your house so that you're not making an unnecessary trip. And then we ask that you get a good night's sleep. If you're able to eat, if the meal the night before, if you're able to add some leafy greens or red meat, those always help too with iron.
Okay. And the morning of, breakfast, no breakfast? What do you
breakfast,
say?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely breakfast. and water again. It's funny because I think when people go to the doctor's office, they're told to fast.
Right.
That's not something you should do before blood donation. Okay. You will not be happy with how you feel afterwards.
Okay. And do you still get a cookie afterwards?
Yes.
You do.
Cookies. Right now, they're all individually packaged, so even the cookies are socially distanced, I guess. But yeah, we have Oreos. I love the Cheez-Its, but actually raisins are the ones that I always sort of push. They've got good iron in them, but there's Oreos as well. juice, water.
Yeah. Get your blood sugar back up, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you need volunteers? Are you accepting volunteers during this time?
Absolutely. And right now, a lot of the work that our volunteers are doing is virtual. So if that's something, you know, if you're stuck at home and have some extra time, or if you want to, you know, I've been trying to use some outside my regular work hours volunteer activities to sort of just show my son he's home anyway, you know, just kind of sending that message that even in a time like this, there's still ways to help other people, even if you can't be in the same room with them. And it's, you know, I think it's a good teaching moment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll go through a training process, is that right?
Yep, we have a really robust recruitment and training process. There's lots of what we would call engagement activities for volunteers too. You know, classes, meetups. I was in one that was a talent show, you know, just to kind of keep people happy and socially connected, even in the midst of the pandemic. Because again, mental health through all this, you really have to be thinking about self-care. And I know there's that, you know, I know a lot of us are on our computers a lot as it is. And then the thought of doing something extra virtually maybe doesn't appeal, but it's different format. We try to keep it light. There's a lot of good trainings. And if you decide that this is the kind of work that you want to do more, there's some opportunities to build a profile where you can eventually be considered for deployment to disasters. We know, you know, hurricane season started on June 1st. We've already had Red Crossers going down to Louisiana. So I mean, it's something that's coming.
Yeah. Once you're a blood donor, Kelly, are you always a blood donor?
Yes. And as long as you want to continue to receive messages from the Red Cross, we'll keep sending them.
Sure.
But yes, as you know, there's certain things, like my father, for example, is on a blood thinner. He can't donate blood. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, even with chronic conditions, you're usually able to continue to donate as long as your condition is under control. Mm-hmm. I get asked about diabetes a lot. That's the one that seems to come up.
Right.
As long as it's well managed and you're not in any sort of crisis, you can donate. So yeah, I mean, I've met donors at blood drives that started donating when they were in, you know, the military in Vietnam or in Korea and have just done it continuously. A couple years ago, I met a donor who was 92 years old.
Wow.
He was in amazing shape and he came and donated blood. He actually credits donating blood with his good health, which I'm not sure I can say that, but he certainly thinks so.
Well, hey, listen, you know, part of it is the social aspect as well. I know I've talked to blood donors who feel, you know, a special privilege, actually.
Absolutely. It's really an amazing thing to see, too. Whenever you're having a bad day, if you can go to a blood drive and just talk to the people that are there, your spirits will be lifted. People are just so selfless. And it really is just, it's an act that you're only doing for someone else. It's very altruistic, and it's a nice feeling.
Yeah. And so even if you're on medications, it's okay to donate?
Certain medications will, and not all of them are lifetime donations. There are deferrals rather. Mm-hmm. There are some that, you know, you might have to wait 6 weeks after taking it. Sometimes with antibiotics, or for example, if you've taken an aspirin in the last 24 hours, we'll ask you to wait a couple days before giving platelets, but whole blood isn't a problem. Our staff, and actually I always encourage people, redcrossblood.org, it'll have a list of the most common questions about that. So chances are the one that you're personally worried about is going to be on that list. But if not, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and speak to someone and they can kind of walk you through it too.
Okay. All right. Another good reason to prepare ahead of time, you know, to save yourself a wasted trip if you're not eligible at that time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are there any local drives that you could tell us about right now?
Yes, so our donor centers are open 7 days a week. Weymouth is the closest. I usually have a list in front of me and I apologize. I don't have in Quincy right away. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But if you go on redcrossblood.org, search by zip code, you'll get a list of everything. Right now, I should say that appointments are running about a week to 2 weeks out, so you might not be able to get something this week, but we do, you know, encourage people to keep trying. And again, on the other end of that, if you do have an appointment and something comes up, you can't make it, please cancel it so that we can open that slot for someone else.
Yeah, that's a great reminder too. And the main distribution center in Dedham, is there, are donations taken there as well?
Yes. Okay. And for a while, we were actually running a second blood drive in a different room. I'm not sure, that was sort of like an overflow. I'm not sure if that's still happening right now, but our seven donor centers are Weymouth, Raynham, Dedham, Danvers, City of Boston, which is right by the Wang Center, Worcester and Springfield.
Very good. Okay. Anything else we should remind folks about right now, do you think, Kelly?
No, this has been great. I always enjoy talking to you, and I hear about Donors from Quincy coming out, so maybe it's because of your show.
So. Oh, we like to think so. Certainly, we love to get the information out to the community. I know the Red Cross is, in the past has been active at the Sons of Italy Hall here in Quincy, at the Thomas Crane Public Library. The Darrow Hall out in House Neck is another specialized blood drive. So you're here quite a bit throughout the year, I know.
Yes, it's a great place to be.
Well, so nice to see you. Thanks so much for your time. And to you and your family and your colleagues, stay safe, be well.
Thank you. You do the same.
Take care.